Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now together, please. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. We thank you for the singing that we were able to participate in, and we thank you for the singing of testimony of our country and your blessing on our country. God, please save our country. Please bless our country. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here, the health that we have. God, we just pray that you would just bless us today mightily for being here on the internet. God, just work in our hearts through the message. Father, thank you for the pastor that you've given us, the man of God that stands faithfully week after week and preaches the word of God to us and loves us through it. Now, Lord, bless him today, empower him with thy Holy Spirit for the task ahead. And Father, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God, I pray you'd work on their heart so they'd see the need that they need to accept Christ as their Savior this morning before they leave. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, please check and make sure that your cell phone is turned off. I have a laser pointer with me today. And if your cell phone goes off, I'll put it right on your head, like a red dot on a Glock 9 with a laser sight. So please help us there. And then the gunshot will follow. So help us now. We would appreciate that very much. Turn it to off or to vibrate. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This book of Judges is 300 years of Israel's history. 300 years of a revolving spiritual condition of an entire nation, where they went from worshiping God, loving God, living for God, being blessed by God, then turning to the idols of the heathen nations that were around them, worshiping those idols. In such a case that some of those idols, their requirement for worship was that they made a metal image of their god, Molech. Took it down to the local garbage dump where they burned the garbage, set the idol in the dump or on an altar, heated it red hot, and they took their children and laid them on the arms of this idol, burned their children in the fires to their god. God's people went from worshiping God, loving God, living for God, to throwing their own children in the fires to worship a heathen god. Then God's judgment would fall on that nation. And they'd repent and turn to God and cry out for deliverance, and God would send them a judge. That's why it's called the book of Judges. There are 13 different judges. And the judge would deliver them, and they'd turn back to God, and he'd bless them. And when he'd bless them, they'd prosper, and they'd go right back to worshiping heathen idols again, the next generation. And that's 300 years of this stuff. 300 years of just revolving history where it goes around and around and around and around and around, from worshiping God, being blessed by God, great nation, turning to idols, judgment of God, judge raised up back, and it just did that for 300 years. And Judges 21 verse 25 tells you why. Because there was no king in Israel. It wasn't a leadership issue. The last statement of that verse is the issue. Because every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I was reading that, and I've heard that statement, read that statement in the Bible many times, used it because it applies to America today. We're seeing our leadership in our own country do what's right in their own eyes. Unfortunately, they're making a lot of big mistakes, but leadership in America is not the only place that happens. And look at me this morning, look at me. And let's be honest enough to admit today that in every one of our cases this morning, we could say we've done that before too. But as I was reading that statement one day, it occurred to me. It didn't say everybody did sin in his own eyes. It said everybody did what was right. But what was right in his own eyes. It's not a matter of wickedness here. By the way, they wound up doing wicked things, but that's not where it started. Listen, we're talking about people here, God's people, the Bible says, who did that which was right in their own eyes. They thought they were doing the right thing. And they made their own judgment on that. Hey, look at me. They said, well, I think that's right. Or here's another one. It looks okay to me. Hey, if as long as you think it's right and I think it's right, you know, political correctness is not born in our generation, because that's the spirit behind political correctness. Well, I mean, everyone thought that this was wrong at one time, but now everyone thinks it's okay. So since everyone thinks it's okay, that makes it right. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. Say, what's the problem with that, Pastor Johnson? Well, the problem with everyone doing what's right in their own eyes is this. You and I are too easily deceived. Here's a great image-building verse in the Bible. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Doesn't that make you feel good about yourself? That builds your self-confidence, puts you in touch with your inner child, make you feel like, you know, I can do anything I want to do. When the Bible says the human heart, that's any human heart. That's yours, that's mine, that's anybody's human heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Well, everybody's heart's not all bad, Pastor Johnson. No, but there's enough in there to cause problems. And the problem with doing what's right in my own eyes and you doing what's right in your own eyes is this. We're too easily deceived. We're too easily tricked and talked into things. Hey, folks, and let's be real for a moment. We too easily deceive ourselves. We talk ourselves into all kinds of foolishness. Agreed? There's a piece of German chocolate cake. The last piece. Wrapped in plastic so it doesn't dry out. In the refrigerator because that's the one you have to keep cool so it stays moist. There's one piece left. It's 11 o'clock at night. You know you don't need to be eating a piece of German chocolate cake that's big enough for a semi-truck to park up against it and keep from rolling off the side of a hill. Sitting in the refrigerator, but at 11 o'clock at night you get one of those sweet cravings. Can I get a witness on a sweet craving this morning? All right, you're with me now. Now you've been exercising and doing the dieting and all the things. That cake calls to you. You can hear it from the refrigerator. Then you start to think about your beliefs in the Bible about Jesus is coming soon. And you think, if I don't eat that cake, the Lord could come tonight and no one's going to get it. And it'll be a waste. And you sit there and talk yourself into all kinds of foolishness. Don't you? Huh? You'll even wind up driving hoping that Dairy Queen's open at midnight so you can get a blizzard. Because you talk yourself into stuff. Come on, folks. That's just foolishness about food and cravings. What about important things in life? You know it's true and I know it's true. The human heart is deceitful. We can talk ourselves into all kinds of foolishness. So I cannot do what is right in my own eyes and do the right thing in every case. Because I'll talk myself into right when it's not right. Because you can't do what's right in your own eyes because we can justify what we do based on our circumstances. Well, I wouldn't do this normally, but here's the situation. They call it situation ethics. The situation determines the ethics, which is not how you're supposed to live, by the way. Situations do not determine what's right and wrong. What's right and wrong is determined by God's word, and by the way, and by the conscience God put inside of you. Your conscience, you know that. Bible says, Romans chapter 2, the law of God written on our hearts. The unfortunate thing about our conscience is the Bible says you can defile your conscience. You can sear your conscience and you can convert your conscience from a voice for right and holiness and goodness in your life to evil and turn it into something that will actually motivate you to do wrong. How do you think people do some of the horrible things they do to folks today? They have a converted conscience. So I can't even go by that very much. I have to follow the Word of God. Because otherwise I'll say, well, I normally wouldn't live with somebody before I got married. But you see, it's tough economic times and I wouldn't take that. That's not mine. But you see, I have a need and there is. You see how we can justify wrong and even make it sound right if we do what's right in our own eyes? Can't do that. Plus, here's why you can't do what's right in your own eyes. Because I can be completely wrong and think I'm completely right. You know who I'm talking about. The people you consider stubborn. They're so stuck on the way they think, and they're completely wrong, but they think they're completely right. I remember driving down the streets of San Francisco once. As you know, San Francisco has a lot of one-way streets. Los Angeles is like that too. And if you're trying to find something and you're not paying attention to street signs and you're looking for an address or a business or a location, how easy can you be to find yourself heading the wrong way on a one-way street? Well, I did in San Francisco one day. I'm looking for something. I turn the corner, and as I'm driving down this three-lane road, I look ahead, and here comes three lanes of traffic coming straight at me. And all the cars are parked the opposite direction that I'm going. But you know what I thought, didn't you? What are all these cars doing coming the wrong way on these streets? I didn't think I was going the wrong way. I thought these three lanes of cars and all these cars parked were all facing the wrong direction. Because, listen to me, you can't do what's right in your own eyes because you could be completely wrong and think you're completely right. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Don't you understand this morning, dear people? It is essential that we learn the great and simple truth that if we'll follow God's word and do what the Bible says, listen, let his word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And let the word of God determine the right and wrong in life. And not do what's right in our own eyes. We won't wind up like the children of Israel here, continually falling in the hand of God and having more problems than you can shake a stick at. Look at what a mess society is becoming. Doesn't it seem like, not everybody, please understand that, but doesn't it seem like a lot of people kind of like lost their mind? Like, what in the world is going on? How could they make this decision? How could they make these choices in their life? Because people today are doing what is right in their own eyes. Now, if we take the righteous finger of indignation pointing at society and we turn it this direction, here's what happens if we do what's right in our own eyes. Here's what will happen. We will mistake our own condition. We'll mistake what is our own condition. See, there's still enough people in America today who believe that work is the way to get things done. You work for it. You're not one of those people who believes you sit by the mailbox and wait for God to show up the 1st and the 15th of the month. You actually go to work and try to do your best to provide for your own, and you work at it. You understand the work principle. It's a great principle. It's a valuable principle. It's a foundational principle that builds great nations and built this great nation. People wanting to work. Then you start talking to people about their salvation and explain to them that salvation is of no works of any kind at all. Because the Bible teaches that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way I can get to heaven is by not working my way there, but by trusting Jesus who did the work at Calvary and paid for my sins. That's the only way I could be saved. By faith alone, in Christ alone, and nothing else. But you talk to a person who believes in the work ethic, and they're going to have a hard time getting a hold of that concept. Because they're doing what's right in their own eyes. They have to realize and repent and turn to Jesus Christ. And in this one most critical of all areas, believe that the Word of God teaches, and it does. It teaches that there are no works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, that the Bible teaches salvation is all of gift, it's all of God, it's all of grace, and you must trust Christ simply by faith to be saved. Now, that's not how I see it, Pastor Johnson. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, let me tell you something this morning. That's where all the religions come from today, Christian religions, 1,200 some odd of them. They come down to two simple categories. They either believe that Jesus Christ is the only hope of salvation and there are no works to save you, or they teach you some form of works for salvation. And it's always something you have to do at their church. It's something you have to do through their religion. If they believe you have to get baptized, you can't go over here to the Sundial Bridge and jump in the river. That won't count. They've got to baptize you. It's always something you have to do at their church. It's their church, their religion, their teaching, their doctrine, their water, their church, their preacher, their religion. It's that which saves you, but it's a works thing. To the natural mind, well, that makes all kinds of sense. Of course, something as important as eternal life, a home in heaven, and forgiveness. For goodness sakes, you can't just have that by simply trusting Christ. I had a man witnessing to a man one day, and he said, "You're going to tell me that right now where I'm sitting, if I simply turn to Christ and trust Him to save me and ask Him to do so, He'll give me salvation just like that?" I said, "Just like that." He goes, "That doesn't make any sense." I said, "You're absolutely right. Of course it doesn't make any sense. But it's what the Bible says. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes." You'll mistake your real condition before God. Oh, by the way, and it works with Christians too, I find. Accept Christ by faith, trust Him for their salvation, ask Him to save them, saved, just like that. Amazing, isn't it? And then God comes to them and says, "Now, not for salvation, not for heaven, not for eternal life, and not for forgiveness. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." And then God comes to the child of God who got salvation for free, eternal life, and a home in heaven. And God says, "Now I want you to yield your life to me." Then we say, "Oh, okay, I'll give him a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Then we start to set the terms and conditions for how yielded we're going to be to God, how much we're going to put on the altar for God. And now we're doing what's right in our own eyes. Still the same thing, though. Just different principle, different concept, and a different purpose. But when he said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body," we understand the body is the house of the soul the house of the spirit. He's saying, "I want everything I paid for." Go down here to this car dealership here at the end of the road right here. We sold him that piece of land, by the way, when we bought this property. Go in there and negotiate a price of a car with him. He's a good guy, by the way, nice man. A lot of our people buy cars from him. I'm not doing an ad for him. But if you go down and buy a car from him, you tell him, "I want a free car of the deal." Anyway, you go down and negotiate a car with this guy. Haggle the price. He says, "You said, he said, he said, you said, he said, he said," and he still gets your money. And so then you buy the car from him. You write him out a check or you put the cash on the table. You purchase the car. And he looks at you and hands you the title, the keys, and a set of hubcaps. And you thought, "Is this part of the deal?" He goes, "Nope, that's all you're getting today. The keys, the hubcaps, and the title. Come back tomorrow, I'll give you the lug nuts." Now, everybody in this room this morning, look at me. If you do what's right in your own eyes, that makes sense. You paid for it, but you don't get it all. You only get the part he wants to give. You say, "Come on, Pastor Johnson, I'm not that stupid." Thank you. That's why you're not in Congress. The truth is, what happens now is this. You're not going to leave the place without getting everything you paid for. Is that not agreed? You say, "I'm not saying yes because I know where you're going with this." Okay, but go ahead and say yes anyhow. Because the truth is, when you got saved, He gave you salvation from the top to the bottom, from the front to the back, for eternity. You received eternal life and forgiveness of Jesus Christ in the instant you trusted Him. And He not only saved you free, and He sealed you, secured you, and is going to keep you in that same saved condition by His power, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, until forever. And now He comes to us and says, "Man, by the way, I would like to have your life now." And we say, "Well, I mean, I there's there's a couple of things I could do, I suppose. But after all, it's my life. No, you're not. It's bought with own. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, the Bible says. Now look at me. So this, look at me. This Christianity where you yield to God on your terms is the same thing of Judges 21, 25. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So many churches today are bringing the standard of the Christian life back to where people want to live. You want to go to church on a Saturday night so it doesn't mess up your Sunday at the lake? We'll have church on Saturday night. You want to have church once a week because we don't want to cram it in and mess up your whole week, for goodness sakes. When the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, and so much the more, not the less, as you see that day approaching. We should be having more church the closer we get to Christ's return, not less. Because we're bringing the standard back to what seems right to people. Well, I'm busy all week and I got stuff to do. And yeah, I understand that. I mean, I understand it experientially. Personally, I don't. I only have to work one day a week, so I got the rest of the week off. So I got it made, okay? So I understand that. Look at me. But everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. Yeah, but if it... But Pastor John said, see, God will understand. Romans 12:1 is not... It's not locked in a dispensational time. He said, I want everything I paid for. He said it to them. He said it to you. And he'll say it to every Christian he ever saved. And you can't set the terms for how much that is. You have to just give him everything that you are and have and let God work that out. Otherwise, we'll do what's right in our own eyes too. See, we'll mistake our condition. We'll do the, well, I'm doing better than I used to thing. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you're doing better than that. My favorite one is people say, well, I'm not killing anybody. Well, I'm glad you're not killing anyone. Thank you for not killing anyone. And I really appreciate it if you wouldn't kill me. And I really, but can you tell me, is that really a standard for living? That's not how it works, is it? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If we do that, we're going to mistake our condition. Every man did that which was right in our own eyes. And we'll justify our choices. You know, there's a couple of interesting verses in Proverbs. I won't ask you to turn to them right now, but let me just quote you one. The Bible says this in Proverbs 21. Listen, Proverbs 12, verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. It says in Proverbs 21 and verse 5, every way seems right unto a man. And there is a way, it says again in Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but therein thereof are the ways of death. Do you know what happens if we do but what seems right in our own eyes? We'll begin to justify our choices. Look here. See, preacher, you're just being way too inflexible. Life is just not like that. No, the messed up life is not like that. I'll be the first to admit this morning, there are times when trying to live by the Bible cramps my lifestyle. I'll admit it. There are times when it would be so much, you're standing in line in Walmart where we'll spend probably a third of our lives. And it's one of those express lane, 12 items or less things. And the person in front of you has two shopping carts jammed to the rafters. And they're in front of you. And you want to say something like, hey, can't you read? Or at least have the decency to let me go in front of you. And then they get all those items out, and there's always one item that there's no price tag for, and they call back to the department that doesn't exist and no one works back there. And you're standing in line with your little two packages of bologna, and all you want to do is go home and sit in the dark and eat your bologna. And you can't get there because this fool is in front of you with too much stuff and no price tags. And the circumstances cry out, let them have it. Let them have it. If we do what's right in our own eyes, we will justify our choices based on our circumstances. Our circumstances will start to dictate to us the right and wrong and the good and bad. Listen now, We'll start checking the political winds of correctness and decisions and choices that we make in our lives. We'll start looking around and saying, well, what is this poll saying? What is that poll saying? Well, this was once unpopular in America, and now it's popular in America. And then now they, at one time people didn't think that was right, and now they think that it's right, and we'll start justifying choices. And we'll justify wrong by declaring it because it is the circumstances determining that. Or it just looks right to me. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes is not a statement of good truth. It's a statement of a nation in trouble. We are not a politically motivated church here. We pick on Congress a lot because it's so easy. But it is an election year in our country. First of all, vast majority of Americans won't even vote. You're just going to sit home, let somebody else put somebody in an office of government that can mess up your life. And then complain about it. Too bad. If you don't vote, be quiet. We don't tell you who to vote for here. Understand? Initiatives and such, we'll speak our piece on those when they touch biblical matters. As far as candidates, we don't promote that. But can I tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen? If everybody does what's right in their own eyes, and we go by how tall someone is or how nice they look or how good they speak, do you realize how much trouble we're in? And how much trouble we're going to continue to be in? We have to make choices, listen to me, based on biblical principles. We tell you here, vote your biblical conscience. If you'll vote your biblical conscience, you'll know who to vote for. At least in some cases, it's unfortunate in America today we vote against somebody instead of for someone. But the point is this. We can't base what, this is what everybody wants to do, so this is what I'm going to do. Well, then you're like the lemmings in Canada. You know those little furry creatures? Multiplied by the multiplied thousands of them, their form of birth control is a little severe. When there's too many of them, they go to the edge of the cliffs and they jump off. And all it takes is the first lemming to jump and the rest of them join them. It thins them out. It's a rough way for birth control, but that's what lemmings do. We're becoming a nation of lemmings. Somebody jumped off the cliff of common sense and godliness and it seemed like the rest of America wants to join them. Excuse me, don't you do that. We have a Bible, ladies and gentlemen. This word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I understand the day in which we live. And I understand this book is not popular. A lot of people's thinking. But I also know this, ladies and gentlemen. It does help me with my choices. Yeah, it cramps my lifestyle, but because there's some things Mike Johnson wants to do that's not right. But this book is right. If I'll follow that, it will help me make my choices. And it makes it so much, listen now, so much more simple. I didn't say easy, I said simple. But it just amazed me. Remember when the AIDS epidemic started to sweep America? Wasn't it fascinating that the answer to preventing that disease from spreading further in America was thou shalt not commit adultery? Wasn't that fascinating? How God's word seemed to have an inbred protection to protect there. Isn't it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, that the whole thing about the simplicity of the word of God is it helps me to make my choices in life instead of letting life make my choices for me? There's another term for that. It's called integrity. Making decisions based on preset principles. Or we do what's right in our own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Also, if we do that, it creates a lot of confusion. We seem to have lost moral compasses and direction. We need a little godly GPS to seem to get us down the road of some things in life so we can figure out what is right and wrong. Seriously, when something was right 50 years ago, it was right because it was a biblical truth or principle. So 50 years later, the Bible hasn't changed. So right is still right and wrong is still wrong. But now we're justifying everything from lying to thieving to stealing to killing. It's amazing because we've gone that direction because we're doing what's right in our own eyes. And look here, and it creates confusion in our lives because, this was right at one time, but now I don't know anymore. Look at all the foods. You remember, how many remember Cyclamates? It was a preservative they used to put in canned foods. Remember Cyclamates? They said those were dangerous. They were going to kill you. Well, they took some poor laboratory rat, injected him with enough Cyclamates that if it had been water, he'd have drowned. And he came up with a bump on his head, and they said it was illegal. I worked for a grocery company at the time. We threw out tons of canned goods. They had these cyclamates meats in them. A couple years later, somebody found out that it wasn't really anything wrong with it. Like Alar on apples. Stuff they found out that was bad then, but they found out it's really not bad after all. And look at me. I'm ashamed to admit this, but it's true. I drank out of the water hose once. I did. Right out of the hose. I didn't even wash the end off. Drank right out of a water hose. I probably have disease flowing through my body right now from when I was six and drank out of a water hose. Did you know I managed to get all the way through public school education without a lawyer? You know, it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, all this stuff that was so wrong then or so right, it's all turned around now. Billy Sunday, the old prohibition preacher, was preaching on something, and he finished his message. He usually preached against booze, but when he got done and he was finished, a man came up to him and said, "Mr. Sunday, you were rubbing the cat the wrong way this morning in that message." He looked at him and he said, "Sir, I didn't turn the cat around." Confusion. If we do what's right in our own eyes, you're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Think about that. You're going to have absolutely no idea what to do, and what's right today won't be right tomorrow, and it'll all be wrong. And you'll find out, did I make a mistake? I mean, the principles by which we raise children just not too long ago were actually biblical principles, by the way. Not always perfect, but the Bible is. Now that's all wrong. No, you don't do that now. Yes, you do, if you follow God's Word. The principles by which we should live our life should be based on God's Word. Not every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. So now look at me. So if I come to you and I say, why do you do what you do in this particular area or that area? You know what I like about children? They're usually very honest. Why did you hit your brother? And they'll look at you and say, because I wanted to. Not a good answer, but a truthful one. Why did you take a cookie? Because I wanted to eat a cookie. Then you think, why did I even ask him? I would have said the same thing. Matter of fact, I wanted the cookie, and that's why I'm upset with the kid. But anyway, the point is, it's amazing to me how simplistic things can be if we'll just acknowledge some simple truths of things. But what we do not ever want to do is get to the place where we become like these poor people and judges, and every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Will you do that today with your life? Will you do that this week? Is that how you live your life? Well, I wouldn't do that normally, but then everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes. Yet the Word of God provides us God's moral compass in our lives, His GPS to get us where we're supposed to be. Would you not be willing to follow God's Word this morning? Do you have some biblical principles by which you live your life? If you have they changed over years? And if they have, why? Well, that just became too inconvenient. Then everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. I know that bad news doesn't sell, but I still like it when every now and then a reporter gets a little retarded and forgets and tells us about somebody who found a wallet and turned it in with the money in it. Or a nation will rally behind its cause to help somebody out. To help somebody in a drought or tsunami or flood or hurricane. Because then they're doing what's right for somebody else, and that's not what's right in our own eyes now, is it? God help us today to not be a people who do that which is right in our own eyes. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.